Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. This is the end of the year wrap-up show, and it's also episode number 89. Imagine that? Never thought we'd get to 89 episodes, but here we are. This week, we're going to talk about what happened last year in the music business and also in pro audio, and we'll look at some of the upcoming trends in 2016 for both. So first of all, let's start with the CRB ruling of last week. The CRB is the Copyright Royalty Board. And what they do is they set the rate for the amount of money that's being paid to copyright holders for streaming on non-interactive services. In other words, for services like Pandora and for satellite radio, they set the rate. And up until last week, the rate was set at 0.0014 cents per stream. And they raised it. They raised it just a little bit to 0.0017. This actually pleased a bunch of people and displeased a number of others. So, for instance, publishers, record labels, Sound Exchange, and most artists and musicians and bands wanted a much higher rate, and they were hoping for somewhere around 0.0025 or a quarter of a cent. And the CRB ruled against that and raised the rate a little bit, but didn't raise it all that much. So that's the very first thing. Now, when it comes down to it, artists, bands, record labels, copyright holders, they don't make all that much money from non-interactive streaming service, mostly because it's non-interactive, so advertisers are paying a lot less money. So as a result, there's more money being made from services like Spotify, for instance, which is interactive. Interactive means that you can go in and ask for a particular song, select a particular song. You can't do that on a non-interactive service. It's like a radio, so you can't do it. So there's more money being paid. It's not quite twice as much, but it's quite a bit more that's being paid. As a result, that's where most of the money is being made. And we had a couple of services pop up in this area last year, the first being Apple Music. And, of course, up until Apple Music came along in May, I guess it was, what they had was Apple Radio, a non-interactive service. Well, as soon as Apple Music came out, it became just like Spotify. As a matter of fact, it's a Spotify competitor. And everyone in the industry thought that because Apple has 850 million credit cards on file, 850 million customers, they're automatically going to get, 100 million of them sign up for Apple Music. And of course, that didn't happen. Apple has been very cagey with numbers, so we don't know exactly how much, but the last I heard, it was somewhere around 6 million that they actually had signed up for this. And it's edging up a little bit every month. But again, Apple is being very cagey about the information that they let out. As a result, what's happening is Spotify has taken over as kind of the king of the hill when it comes to streaming services, and Apple Music is bringing up the rear. It doesn't also help that Apple Music really wasn't implemented well, and many of the early adopters aren't happy with the service. They're not happy with the interface. They're not happy with the way it works. So that has a lot to do with it as well. But right now, Apple Music really didn't make the impact that anyone thought. One of the interesting aspects that you should look at is the fact that Apple has been collecting high-res music for about 3 years now in their Master for iTunes program. As a result, it'll be very easy for them to turn on a high-res service. And I've been predicting this is going to happen. And they actually did something with hardware that looks like it's going to be on the next iPhone that gives us away a little bit. They're going to replace the headphone connector. There's a couple reasons for this. One is the fact that it takes up a lot of room, and this little round eighth-inch connector that we're so used to seeing actually makes it very difficult for Apple to make the iPhone any slimmer than it actually is. But it also is a limitation when it comes to high-res as well. So what they're going to do is go to the Lightning connector and use that as a connector for high-res music. So this is something that you're going to see in the upcoming year. So keep a lookout for that. Apple Music and a high-res service and a brand new connector on the iPhone. The next thing that was really big was YouTube Red. Now, of course, YouTube had this service called Music Key that was in beta for about a year. And the whole idea behind it was, if you wanted to get rid of ads when you watch videos in YouTube, and most of the people that watch these are looking for music, in fact, you would pay $10 a month. So they came out with something called Music Key. It was in beta for a long time. And when they finally launched it, they called it YouTube Red. Now, this launched a couple months ago, and once again, it's so new, there hasn't been any numbers at all on it, but there's been zero buzz on it since it launched, since that first week. So it should be very interesting to see what happens. They also have an audio-only version called YouTube Music. Boy, what a clever name that is, huh? Once again, it's one of those things where you pay 10 bucks a month and you get rid of the advertising. You also get access to Google Play Music at the same time. And of course, Google owns YouTube, so that's why you get their catalog. And that's about 30 million songs. So there's another benefit. There's another benefit in the fact that you can also access the music offline. So there's quite a number of other things. Is it enough to pay 10 bucks a month? Well, hard to say. And so far, we don't know how many people actually think it is. So keep a lookout for that. One of the most significant things that happened in the last year just happened. And this came from Pandora. Pandora made a couple of purchases over the last year. The first was they bought the online ticketing service called Ticketfly, which enables them to provide tickets along with plays from the artists. So that was kind of a nice purchase. It wasn't a game changer, but really the game changer came a little later when RDO, the RDO service, went bankrupt and Pandora bought the streaming assets. Now, what this will enable them to do is turn from a non-interactive service to an interactive service and go after Spotify and go after Apple Music as well. Now, remember that Pandora is pretty big, but they're only in the United States, and it's only in Australia and New Zealand. You don't have it in most parts of the world, but now having this brand new part of the service will enable Pandora to expand. And it couldn't before. So that'll be really interesting to see what happens. And I would look at that. Out of everything that happened in the last year in music business, to me, that's the most significant. Another thing to look for is Amazon Prime Music. Of course, if you're an Amazon Prime member, usually you do it because you want the second-day delivery, the free second-day delivery, and some of the other perks that you get, a nice music selection, which is Amazon Prime Music, and you get a nice video selection that you can download or you can watch, you can stream. So there's a lot of little perks that you get with Amazon Prime, but Prime Music is a big deal, and what they've been doing very quietly is Amazon starting its own record label, and you see releases come out here and there that are very eclectic, as if they're putting their toe in the water and testing things. So watch for Amazon Prime Music to become a bigger mover and shaker in the next year or so. Of course, what Facebook did is Facebook went hard into video in the last year. Facebook claims that at the moment, it delivers just as much video content as YouTube. Of course, the way they calculate the numbers are somewhat different than YouTube, so you can look at those numbers with a jaundiced eye, but the fact of the matter is that Facebook is now a bigger player in the video space than it was before, and it's going after it very, very hard. So watch that in the coming year, because it'll be interesting to see how Facebook approaches something like Content ID. Content ID is the whole secret behind YouTube and getting paid from YouTube, because that allows you to monetize your videos. And if someone happens to embed your video, it allows you to get paid from that. Facebook has nothing like that so far. Supposedly they're working on it, but they don't have it right now. So look for that to happen in the next year. Of course, a big blockbuster in the last year was the Robin Thicke Blurred Lines lawsuit. The Marvin Gaye family sued Robin Thicke and all the writers of Blurred Lines, saying that it was deceptively similar to Got to Give It Up, which was, of course, the big hit from Marvin Gaye. And they won. And this has sent shivers through the music business, because now everyone is so paranoid about getting sued for plagiarism that everyone is extra careful to cut other people in, even if a song doesn't sound remotely like it, or if it does sound remotely like it, they've decided to cut anyone in instead of getting sued. this whole blurred lines thing has made songwriters very paranoid, especially professional songwriters. That being said, Robin Thicke, publishers, writers, etc., have appealed. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Once again, this year, it will be a big deal if that's upheld, because that will really change professional songwriting. And it will change songwriting in general and how publishers look at songwriters. Another thing that happened in the last year was Jay-Z bought Tidal. Tidal was very interesting and is interesting because, again, it's a high-res streaming service. High-res in that it's really the only one that streams at 44.1, which is CD quality. The bad part was Jay-Z kind of outsmarted himself when he bought it and hasn't been able to really do anything with it since he outsmarted himself by getting a whole bunch of A-listers to promote it. And the promotion basically came out sounding like, for once I'm going to get paid, I don't get paid enough, so now thanks to Tidal, I'm going to get paid more. That doesn't really make people want to go use your service if that's the case. So my prediction is that Tidal is either going to go away in 2016 or that it's going to be bought by another entity. Right now, Tidal is having a hard time because they're going through execs like crazy. So that makes me think that they're very unstable and maybe running into money problems. We'll see what happens. But again, that was once a very interesting streaming service. It's somewhat less interesting now. Of course, vinyl continues its comeback. Everybody says this is the last year it's going to peak, and yet it continues to go. Now, vinyl is up to about 9% of music industry income in the United States. It's a lot. It's still not going to grow more than streaming or anything like that. It will grow. It's just a matter of how much. One of the most interesting things that just happened, though, is the fact that there are new vinyl presses finally coming. First time in 35 years. Once that happens, that will alleviate the backlog problem. So we'll see more and more vinyl actually out in the stores. If you go look in stores, it's amazing because there's so many stores that now have vinyl sections that are larger than CD sections and are selling turntables again. So that's kind of cool. There's been a resurgence in cassettes, believe it or not, minor that it is. But there are people that are digging cassettes, and there are cassette-only record labels now as well. Usually limited editions, they're only putting hundreds out, not thousands. But once again, we find that all of the duplicators, in the United States anyway, are filled up, and most of their clients are the major labels. So someone is buying cassettes, and are buying more of them. Producers and engineers may finally get paid on streaming, and right now they don't. But it looks like in 2016, what will happen is whenever there's money that goes to Sound Exchange, and this is usually because Sound Exchange gets paid for non-interactive streaming. So, for instance, anything from Pandora, from Sirius, satellite radio, things like that, is collected by Sound Exchange. Right now, the way it's split up is 50% goes to the copyright holder, which is the record label, or it could be the songwriter, or it could be the band, the artist. And a portion goes to the artist, of course, and a smaller portion goes to the major players on the record. So if there's a feature player, they actually get paid. But now 5% of that may actually go to the producer and the engineer that worked on it as well. So hopefully that'll work, because that'll be nice, again, for these guys who work really hard to finally get a little piece of it. And believe me, it's a very little piece, but it's better than nothing. So that's kind of cool. Billboard came out with a chart of lyrics last year. That's kind of cool. So really what it is the number of searches for a particular lyric. So if, for instance, whatever's number one, let's just say it's Blurred Lines, if they have the most searches during a week, it's going to be number one on the chart. What's interesting about this is it pretty much parallels whatever the number one song on the Billboard 100 is. So the top 10 are pretty much like that. But anyway, it's an interesting new chart that Billboard's come out with. Of course, Adele has been huge once again. She's already passed 5 million albums sold in the United States already. And who knows how much it'll end up being. Her last record wound up being almost 30 million that she sold. And of course, everyone said that would never happen again, and it did. And yet it's happening one more time. So it'll be interesting to see if the sales maintain the way they are. It'll be interesting to see if we see a die-off after the holiday or after she hits streaming. Adele kept her music from the streaming services. And that'll only go for so long, and eventually she'll have to go there. We're seeing there'll be an upsurge at Christmas because it's a great gift. CDs are always a great gift, whether people use them or not. So there's always a big upsurge at Christmas. It'll be in February when we'll really see what kind of legs that record has. Of course, the charts continue to be dominated by women. Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, Jessie J, Ariana Grande, Charlie XCX. It seems like women are just dominating the pop charts. So we'll see if 2016 brings the same. If you have any questions or comments, send them to questions@bobbyownercircle.com. Don't forget about my new coaching program. It's 101 Mixing Tricks, Big Studio Tricks of the Small Studio. It's now available by the module. You can go to 101mixingtricks.com to learn more. Now let's talk about Pro Audio and the Pro Audio business for a second. Guitar Center was very big in the news over the last year. Kind of died in the news. They've been very low-key in the last few months. But the big thing was that they're running out of money. And it looked like they're actually in danger of closing for a while. It still might happen because they have a big balloon payment coming up. And what ended up happening was the company that was running them, because they couldn't pay the loan, wound up basically giving control over to another company that had invested. So Guitar Center is in a very interesting situation. If you go into Guitar Center, they have less inventory than they used to have. There's fewer people than they used to have, for the most part. It's also interesting that there are four stores that tried to unionize last year. And even though they unionized, Guitar Center pretty much didn't recognize it and wound up being sued by the National Labor Relations Board. And that suit is still ongoing. So 2016 will be interesting for Guitar Center. About February, we should see what's going on with that. Pro Tools, of course, is pretty big in the news because of Pro Tools 12, because of subscription. There's a lot of people that don't like the idea of subscribing. That being said, it seems to me that people are softening a little bit about the whole thing. There are other companies that are trying to get Pro Tools business, Pro business especially, by offering cross grades. And I think we'll see more of that in the Winter NAMM show in January. So that'll be interesting to see how that actually shakes out. That being said, it looks like there aren't as many people that are as up in arms about Avid as there were a few months ago. And I'm not sure if that's because they actually like Pro Tools 12, if they feel better about it after they've used it, or if they don't see anything better on the horizon and they've just decided to hang in there for the time being. So we'll see how that shakes out as well. Music Row in Nashville, the famous Music Row, it's been there for 50 years, is closing. There are fewer and fewer actual music companies that are on Music Row, mostly because the rent is too high. Vanderbilt University seems to be buying up most of that prime real estate. So Music Row is actually moving to the Barry Hill section of Nashville now. But there's still a number of companies. ASCAP is there, for instance. BMI is still there. There's a number of companies that are still hanging out on Music Row. Most of the studios aren't there. There's a few still. Oceanway is still there. But you're seeing less and less activity happening on Music Row. It's a real shame. Lots of new technologies that were introduced in the last year haven't really caught on, but were introduced. Of course, AVB has caught on, and that's very big. And that's a way of transferring audio and video basically over Ethernet. Of course, that's become kind of a standard. It's everywhere. Just this year, I think it's caught on to the point where now we're seeing just about every piece of hardware that comes out being AVB compatible. MQA was another technology that came out, and this was called Master Quality Authenticated. It's by Meridian. Meridian makes high-end converters, and they were behind the DVD audio disc a long time ago. And this is a way of getting high-resolution audio and having a way to encode it and having a way to authenticate it so it won't be stolen. Again, this seems to be fighting a battle that doesn't need to be fought anymore. So this came and went very quickly. The USB-C connector is about to come out, and that's going to be a big deal. This is a very tiny connector. It's going to change everything because, again, it's very tiny, so it will make a lot of items that have USB connectors become smaller as a result. But it's also very, very fast. And not only is it Thunderbolt fast, but it also provides a lot more power. So now we're going to see more and more pieces of hardware, computer hardware, with USB-C in 2016. So look for that. AES came out with a 3D audio standard. This is important because 3D audio is now becoming a really big deal, especially with virtual reality headsets, and virtual reality headsets are the next big thing. I thought we'd see them more at Christmas. They're not quite ready. A few of them are coming out, but I think you'll see in the coming year, in 2016, it'll be a virtual reality year. And of course, the perfect thing with virtual reality is either some sort of binaural or some sort of surround sound, headphone surround audio. And we're going to see more and more of that happening. We're going to see more binaural recording as a result. And now AES came out with that standard in advance to kind of make things easier. Now we won't have multiple standards, which that was starting to happen already, which, you know, wasn't going to work. So hopefully everybody follows this AES 3D standard. We saw other types of very interesting technology come out, like Li-Fi, Li-Fi, which is basically communication via light pulses. We're a few years away on that, but I think you're going to see that as a coming technology. It's kind of cool. Also, 3D batteries, foam 3D batteries, which charge faster, hold more, and are going to be just better all the way around. We're going to see more and more in the coming year. That's kind of cool. Moog Music gave its company to its employees over the last year, 50% of its company. The owner, president of Moog, is retiring and decided the best thing was to give the company to the people that have worked there. So now, if you're a new employee, it takes 7 years for you to vest. But that being said, in those 7 years, all of the people are going to own 100% of the company of Moog Music. That's a very cool thing. It'd be great if more companies would do that. And finally, the famous Abbey Road Studios created a tech incubator for music tech projects. Every 6 months, they're going to fund two projects. And it's going to be not a whole lot of money, some money, a lot of mentorship, and a lot of resources they're going to provide. But this is very cool because there's a lot of very cool ideas out there, music technology ideas, and a lot of them die in the vine. And hopefully this Abbey Road Tech Incubator will help them come to fruition. So those are all the cool things that happened in the last year, or not so cool things that happened in the last year in the pro audio side of the business. Let's look at trends now. What are the trends for 2016? We talked about a few already, and streaming, of course, is going to get bigger and bigger. The whole thing to look at with streaming, though, is how many subscribers are actually going to pay. How many are going to go from the freemium tier to the premium tier? Because that will really make a difference in how much everybody gets paid down the line. And when I talk about everybody, what I mean is everyone from record labels to artists, bands, to songwriters, everyone down the line, publishers. So this is really important. The last year was kind of disappointing. There weren't as many people that subscribed as everyone had anticipated. So we'll see if that happens in the coming year, if there are more and more people that are actually going to do that. Now, you can make money in streaming, and there are a fair number of artists that have made a good amount of money. Ed Sheeran, for instance, is one. He made $20 million just off of Spotify. So if you consider that most artists, most bands are getting paid from a lot of different places, not just one. You're getting paid from Spotify. You're getting paid from two tiers of Spotify. You're getting paid from Pandora. You're getting paid from Deezer. You're getting paid from Apple Music, and on and on and on. There's 35 different streaming services all over the world. If you're lucky, you're getting paid for them all. So there's money coming in from a lot of different places, and it may be not as much as you're used to, but in the aggregate, it's going to be more. So that's what we should look for in the next year. Look for Pandora to become more and more important in the streaming world in 2016. And we talked about that earlier. The reason why is it looks like they'll come out as an interactive service like Spotify. Look for Apple Music to be less important in the next coming year. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Facebook is still around. It's still growing. It has 1.5 billion users. So it's still growing. It still has room to grow. But I think what everyone agrees on, it's more difficult to use it for promotion than it has been in the past. And they're making it tougher. They're not making it easier. In fact, online marketing in general is getting tougher. Reason why is it's getting more expensive. It's harder to do things for free. And you have to basically pay for any kind of advertising that you're getting, any kind of placement, any kind of visibility. So that's going to happen more and more, unfortunately, in 2016. Another thing that you'll see is websites have changed substantially in the last year. What we're seeing is a new, sleeker look, a WordPress type of look. More and more, if you don't have that look, you're going to look old. That being said, content is still the most important thing. That's never going to go away. So make sure all your content is fresh and up to date and is really good, because that's all said and done. That's why people come to your site. If we look at Pro Audio a little bit, there's a number of trends. One big one is the fact that analog is dying. There are just fewer and fewer reasons to buy a piece of analog gear. In terms of outboard gear, for instance, there's just no reason to buy it. And something that's pure, straight analog, we're seeing fewer of those things happening. In fact, the big trend that we're seeing is around controllers for digital audio, controllers for digital in general. One that just came out that I thought was really cool was the Slate Raven, the MTI-2, which is $999. And we're going to see more things like that. We're going to see more specialized controllers coming out because, once again, there's no reason to buy analog pieces like we did in the past. For instance, you don't have to buy analog compressors like you did in the past. You don't have to buy outboard gear like you did in the past. That being said, the quest for the perfect speaker and microphone still continues. Every year, there are new microphones that come out. Every year, there are newer speakers that come out. Basically, it's the same technology that's just knocked up a notch, and we're not finding anything new. I look forward to the day when there's a new technology that blows us all away, but I don't see it on the horizon so far, unfortunately. I think we're all seeing plug-in overload right now. How many plug-ins can you buy? How many plug-ins can you use? How many things haven't been emulated already? It's very difficult to come up with a new plug-in. And one that will capture people's attention. So now we're at the point of at least audio plug-in overload, I think. The tablet for audio is a lot less visible in 2015 than it was in 2014. And I think 2016 will see that trend continue. For a while, everybody thought that the tablet, the iPad, was going to be the way to control everything. And I think what we found was it's not a very convenient way to do so. Someone had explained the tablet to me like this, and I think it's perfect. A tablet is a very good output device. It's not a very good input device. So as a controller, it's not particularly great. Until we find a better, more precise controller, I don't think we're going to find that happening, or just a better way to use a tablet. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see what the January NAMM show brings us, because there may be a surprise there. We'll see. Sound reinforcement is going increasingly digital. More and more things are digital and smaller as a result. It's really interesting when you look just at pieces of sound reinforcement, and it could be something as simple as a PA for a club band or for a rehearsal hall, as it is for the sound reinforcement system for an airport, for instance. Everything is smaller, and it's all digital. It's very interesting that it's all happened like that. It happened fast, too. Amplifiers are smaller. Big, beefy, high-wattage amplifiers are smaller than ever and cheaper. It used to be that if you talked about a switching power supply, a Class H power supply, automatically everybody would think, well, that can't sound good. And now we found that it can. So now we have very inexpensive, high-power amplifiers that could be had, and it's amazing the price that you can get on these things. I think you'll see more and more of that in 2016. Another thing you're going to see, and I mentioned it before, it's going to be a very big deal, it's headphone surround or binaural audio for virtual reality. Virtual reality is the next big thing. And of course, if you have something that close to your face that you're looking at, and it's virtual reality, so you're basically looking at 360 degrees, you need the same thing for audio as well. So now we're going to see binaural audio, and we're going to see headphone surround come into its own. And that's going to be the next big deal in audio. So I'm looking forward to that to happen in 2016. So that's it for trends. There's probably some others that I can't think of and that I missed, and I'll bring them up on the next podcast when I remember them. But that's a pretty good look back at what happened in 2015 and a pretty good look ahead to 2016. Thank you so much for listening and being in my inner circle. I can't believe this is episode 89. I hope you've enjoyed them. If you have any questions or comments, send them to questions@BobbyOinnerCircle. I do really like getting any comments that you send, and I love getting the questions. Certainly, I'll respond right away when I get them. Thanks to all my guests that appeared on the show this past year. I'm so happy when a guest will spend some time with me. I must admit, there are some guests that I don't know beforehand that I get them on the show, and I like to think that we become friends during the show and afterwards, and we know each other a lot better, and we continue to be friends afterwards. I hope that comes across as well in the interview. Many thanks to Steve Cherubino. He's the host of the EDM Producer Podcast at edmmr.com, and Steve is the reason that the show exists, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have done this, and he's the guy that continues to put it together. Many, many thanks, Steve, on so many levels. Thanks, Steve. To listen to other episodes of Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle, go to bobbyosinski.com and select the podcast tab, or you can go to bobbyoinnercircle.com, or you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Mixcloud, and now Google Play. At bobbyosinski.com and bobbyoinnercircle.com, you'll also find a sign-up form for my newsletter and for alerts for new podcasts. This is Bobby Osinski, and I'll see you next year.